Good morning. I know what you're thinking. Is he back again? I thought we got rid of him for a few weeks. Well, you did. I'm still on leave. But Richard, who I know has been looking after you for the last few weeks and doing a brilliant job, I thought I just wanted to leave him a short talk just to help out on one of the Sundays while I was away, which is what this is. So big shout out and thanks to Richard. Really appreciate all that you've done and those who've helped in any way to make these times really important. I want to think this morning briefly about a subject area that kind of ties up something that we were looking at just before I left. And this idea of maintaining a really healthy perspective in life because we have a healthy perspective of our faith. Have you noticed how easily the words that we use, the language that we use, can exaggerate? Sometimes we use it for humor. We've all heard Richard on numerous occasions say, oh, for the millionth time, will you stop exaggerating? It's just humor. And that's Richard's sense of humor, and we love him for it. But we do that sort of thing to describe things much more generally, and especially when it comes to things like health. It's not just fishermen who describe things with exaggeration. I caught a fish and it was this big. We sometimes look at what we're going through and describe it in similar ways. I once heard someone talk about a paper cut, you know? You rubbed a piece of paper by accident, cross your finger, you get a cut. And when you touch something, it kind of smarts. And the person said, there's nothing worse than a paper cut. Yes, there is. There's an awful lot in life that is an awful lot worse than a paper cut. We used to joke with my dad, loved my dad to bits. He was a remarkable individual and had very few faults that I would ever consider picking up. But one of the things that we joked with him about is that he didn't handle illness well. And when he was sick, even if it was just having a cold, he'd so often say, oh, I thought I was dying. It's this way of exaggerating. And we can use that kind of language quite a lot to describe the circumstances that we're facing. And it's not always helpful, because it gives a bad perspective. So the kind of phrases that I'm talking about when life is tough is that we say, everything's getting on top of me. Really? Everything? We say, oh, I can never do anything right. I know someone who used to say that, and he had a really negative attitude about life. It was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because he expected things to go badly wrong. We talk about being weighed down by the world, or I feel like I've got the whole world on my shoulders. Actually, as I look in the mirror, I can see that on this shoulder, I pretty much have the world on my shoulder there. But anyway, that's getting off the point. Don't start looking around the room, by the way, now that I've just pointed that out. But it's this way of using phrases, weighed down. We're facing impossible odds. I'm feeling hopelessly outnumbered, that can skew our perspective. Does it matter? Well, when it starts to impact our perspective on life, it can be harmful, because then we begin to see our problems out of proportion with what they really are. And more crucially, it diminishes God's capacity to deal and help us work through those things that we are facing. You might be using exaggeration to make a point, but the enemy will use it to break your faith and your trust in God. And I wanted to share some of these thoughts because it came on the back of me thinking about Hezekiah. Do you remember this great man of prayer who was facing horrendous circumstances? but he took it to God in prayer to seek his perspective. Now, just going off piste for a moment, I had an interesting discussion in our tea and coffee time after that, where various people spoke about the challenge of prayer. And someone quoted or revealed the book written by Pete Gregg, God on Mute. And there was a little bit of a discussion that took place about God not answering prayer. And I've been thinking about that a little bit since, and I just want to throw something back into the mix, because personally, I believe God always answers prayer, but he doesn't always answer how you want that prayer to be answered. I read in scripture that God answers prayer. I believe he always hears our prayer. The point of Pete Gregg writing that book was it seemed like God was on mute, saying nothing. But sometimes God's answer is, yes, it is, go. Go ahead. Yeah, this is going to happen. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is slow. This is not the time. And sometimes the answer is grow, which is something that one of the people commenting alluded to, was a time when they weren't hearing from God, was a time when they gained understanding. God saying to us, this is time when I want you to grow in this situation, rather than click my fingers and give you the simple answer that you want right now. It's a difficult subject, but I just wanted to throw those things in. But back to Hezekiah. Do you remember? Hezekiah was the king of Judah, and he was faced by this enormous, mighty empire of Assyria. They were the superpower of the time, and they were threatening Jerusalem to sack, to destroy God's temple. But Assyria had ambitions. They wanted to expand their empire. They wanted to go around the region and expand beyond it, conquering one nation after another. There's the area and how it had grown over the years, the Assyrian Empire that had become huge. And there's tiny Judah in yellow in the center of the screen, and Jerusalem that was next on their target. All the nations around had fallen like dominoes under the threat and the weight of this mighty empire. And now it is Judah's turn. And we looked at Hezekiah. He laid the threat as it had been written down and passed to him in front of the throne of God and said, Lord, is this how it is? He sought God's perspective for the fate of Jerusalem, for what seemed impossible. That storyline is told in Isaiah from chapters 36 through to 39. In the following chapter, Isaiah 40, God speaking through his prophet seeks to give his people a sense of perspective when it comes to the troubles that we are facing. And in verse 15, there is a phrase that is used. Actually, it's one of those descriptive cliches that people use to describe something puny, insignificant. Here it is, a drop in a bucket. And I'm quite sure that that's how the people of Judah could have seen themselves. They would have felt utterly overwhelmed, insignificant, like a drop in a bucket compared to this mighty enemy that wanted to destroy them. But as Isaiah seeks to convey true perspective, in absolute contrast to the very human perspective that Judah might have had, here's the interesting way he uses this phrase, a drop in a bucket. Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. To the God of this world, the God who put this entire universe together, who didn't just create the earth, the planet that we enjoy, and the nations that are on it, but created the entire universe. To him, it's the nations, it's the islands, as they're also put, those powers of human origin and all the threats that they make. They are the ones who are as a drop in a bucket, who are like fine dust that if I were to view, I'd have to use an eyepiece to see any significant detail in. To the God of this world, it is them that are the insignificance, not God's people who so often feel threatened. The challenge for us, I think, is that so often we tend to use words that exaggerate our circumstances. We've got used to seeing things negatively. I don't know about you, but I look at a cup like this. What is this cup? Is this cup half full or is it half empty? It's just about perspective. And so often we say, oh, it's half empty. It's not good. And we see the problems that we have. We see the challenges around us. We see the power of governments with all its financial clout and the political will that is so often backed and encouraged by the media, by voices that are powerful in the media that do not speak for God. And it so often seems that those things are beyond our capacity and we feel overwhelmed. We face challenges in our individual lives that we feel are insurmountable. And we see the problems and we see them as huge and we see ourselves as the drop in a bucket. Isaiah says we need to turn things around. We need to see that God is the almighty God of this world, that he is the one who holds all these things in his hands. The confidence that can come from recognizing that he is sovereign in this world and that those very powerful voices in human terms are as nothing before him. I wonder whether we conclude that we as God's people in this world are powerless, have no influence compared to the global politics, the markets, those voices of television, of newspapers that speak a voice that often has a morality that's a great deal to be desired. I wonder whether we feel we're sidelined and almost irrelevant in this world. I believe Isaiah's words would challenge us to turn that around and say, no, that's not where we are. We have a God who is fighting on our behalf. That is the perspective that he encourages us to have. And part of that comes through an understanding, not to look to ourselves for that strength. We often think, don't we? Oh, is that a sign of weakness in some spiritual opposition that we're facing? We look for signs that we might find a chink in the armor to overcome somehow. We look for strength, someone who will speak on our side who has strength. And we look in human terms to fight these battles, but the battle belongs to the Lord and he is above all of it. That's the context here. The encouragement of Isaiah is that we don't look inwardly for our strengths, but we look up to the God who is above all powers. Again and again in Scripture, we see God invite us to trust in his power. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. That's the principle of our faith relationship with God. It's not our power, our strength that is the key. It is God's power. Our perspective comes from who he is, not who we are. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 said the same thing, didn't he? When I am weak, then I am strong. When we let go of our own weakness, we invite God to come in in all of his strength. And that is something that the kingdom of God can use powerfully. I know we're going to now work backwards in the verses in this chapter, but verse 12 gives us some new perspective. In verse 12, we read, "Who has measured the waters in the hollows of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance?" One of the things I'm looking forward to being on leave is to see some of the mountains. And for those of you who've ever been to Scotland or the Lake District, or maybe had the privilege of seeing the Alps or somewhere like that, will know the mountains give a sense of perspective of who we are, of how relatively insignificant. But Isaiah reminds you, God is so much greater. He weighs the mountains on the scales and hills on a balance. It is our God who, with the breadth of his hand, marked off the heavens. What a wonderful phrase that is. I saw this image recently, a telescope put into space just over a year or so ago, the James Webb Space Telescope. And in its first year, it has produced some amazing photographs. This is a group of stars in the Carina Nebula. And we look and we can begin to see this detail with a human eye, but as a telescope that is in space, that is able to see without the restriction of the Earth's atmosphere and all the pollutants and dust and everything else that stops us from seeing the sky clearly at night. A telescope there allows you to see images like this. Wow. And this is looking so far into the distance, millions of light years away. And the God who created this universe measured these in the span of his hand. This is the description that Isaiah uses to encourage us to see God with perspective. And our greatest adversaries in this world, the greatest problems that we face, in the eyes of God, they are nothing for him. The God of this world who created them, he's the one who gives us perspective. But it's not the end of the perspective that as Isaiah invites us to have in chapter 40, verse 10. "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power as he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him." God will always deal with unrighteousness in this world. But it's not just his might, his power and his strength that Isaiah invites us to gain perspective from. The following verse, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." It's not just his strength and might and power, it's also his mercy towards us. Just look at the verbs in those verses. He tends. That means he cares for, he watches over his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He draws them together. He carries them close to his heart. When we think we're hopeless, when we think God is on mute, when we think that God isn't answering us, he's carrying us. And he gently leads those that have young. This is the perspective that I believe God would have us understand when it comes to him being a part of our lives. Whatever you are going through in life, and there are times when the pain that we feel in the brokenness of this world and the struggles that we have are not to be taken lightly. The encouragement is this. Don't let the enemy persuade you that your God is impotent. He is a defeated enemy. And compared to all the issues of this world, our God is acting on our behalf, on your behalf. He acts always for your blessing. And all of these problems, however difficult they are, how they seem to be to us, however insurmountable, they are as a drop in a bucket compared to his might, his power, his love, and his mercy. May God richly bless you.